AM 1560 and FM 97.7 KNZR. The Terry Maxwell Show. He's here to remind you it isn't a spectator sport anymore. You must get into the game.
Q Howard.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel-belted radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. I want you to get up right now. Get up, go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
We're not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Okay, we are back.
Wow.
Was that great? 1976 is when Network came out. And if there was ever a clip that we should play a lot of, that's it. Because that's what's happening today. And, you know, Dr. Mensing, we have people that are engaged. We do have there. We're seeing it in different pockets. And, you know, if these groups come together, They're going to set this world on fire again.
Terry, we're going to, I think personally that 2 weeks ago the tipping point changed.
Yeah, I do too.
The things changed. Yeah. The tipping point has occurred. I will see. I'm not any great political prognosticator. Oh my gosh, you said it right. but that's my sense. All right.
Yeah.
I really do think it's changed.
Yeah. We are going to talk. You know, there's something that is. Talking about COVID-19, one of the more common symptoms is anosmia.
Anosmia, loss of smell.
Right, loss of smell.
It's very common. Everybody thinks the first thing that happens when they got it is they've got COVID.
But quite frankly, that happens in the common cold, too.
Yes, yeah, okay.
I mean, it's like, wait a minute, why is everybody making a big deal about this? Because when you got the cold, you can't smell anything either.
No, the most common cause is just the coronavirus, the regular common cold, all right? Tough luck, that's what happens, all right? What I thought we'd do today is we talk about when you get anosmia, loss of smell. What goes through the doctor's mind when he's talking to you, okay? That's what we're going to talk about today because it's very common. And number two, 99% of the people out there listening, Terry, they think that, my gosh, if this happens, I've got COVID, right?
And that's not necessarily true.
Not necessarily true. It may be. Don't get me wrong. It may be. All right.
Right.
But when you want to go through, I thought today we'd go through what goes through the doctor's mind when you have the symptoms very common for COVID, all right? That's kind of what we do about it. The first thing the doctor wants to know is it acute or chronic? All right? Is it acute or chronic? And the next thing is that if it's acute, the most common cause, over 85-90%, if it's acute, it's an upper respiratory tract infection.
Yeah.
Due to anything, a virus.
A virus or bacteria too, right?
Well, yeah, but mostly viruses.
Okay, because mostly bacteria are in lower.
And more oral pharynx is more bacterial.
Right.
You can get bacterial infections in the sinuses and in the nasal passages.
And some of those turn into chronic ones.
Yes. But the most common is viral upper respiratory tract infection. All right. It is not, more today, the most common COVID. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I just want to emphasize that. Even though COVID causes these things, more commonly, you know, the bottom line is that what I'm seeing, Terry, is that patients, you know, we've cured the common cold. All right?
By having COVID.
By having COVID.
COVID-19 solved a lot of problems.
Yeah, and that's not true. All right? We still have cold viruses, regular coronaviruses. We still have those.
Right.
All right?
Right.
People are, you know, thinking the first thing that happens, I've lost sense of smell, I've got COVID.
Right.
You may or may not, and you should be tested, all right? But the fact of the matter is that you most probably do not, all right? And we want to just talk about today this common symptom that everybody thinks they got COVID when they got it. What does a doctor think about when you talk to him about that?
Right. What sort of a history they're looking for and trying to ferret out why you're having this problem.
First,
again, it's a symptom.
It's
not a diagnosis.
Correct.
It's correct, a symptom.
Correct. Correct. It is a symptom. All
right. Right.
The first thing that is it acute? All right. And if it is acute, the most common is not coronavirus, but a regular viral cold, upper respiratory tract infection. Okay. No. By the way, I said that wrong. If it is to the acute, it is an upper respiratory tract infection. The most common is a coronavirus, but it is not COVID.
Right.
All right. That said better. I said the wrong way. But just because you have loss of sense of smell, it does not mean you have COVID. All right. It's more likely to have a cold, especially if it's in the fall or winter.
Well,
that's a different story.
All right. If coronavirus and the regular common cold are both coronaviruses.
That's correct.
Would it be safe to assume that most of the coronaviruses are going to have this as one of the symptoms?
Exactly. Let's talk 2 years ago before coronavirus came out. Before COVID came out.
Yeah.
I'm going to screw myself up this whole program if we're not careful. But before COVID came out, you know, let's face it. Before COVID came out, the average number of coronaviruses, respiratory viral upper respiratory tract infections, and there's influenza, parainfluenza, a bunch of other viruses that can do this. The average kid from the middle of October till February, end of February, had six of these viruses. Six.
Sure. Because you get exposed to it.
Of course. You get exposed to it. So there is six, all right? Nowadays, nobody gets, you know, and we're calling everything COVID, and 1/6 of them maybe are COVID. All right, I don't know by the way, I don't know the number, but I mean, just most of them are not COVID.
But my conjecture is that in the past we wouldn't get to the point where we cared what virus it was. We made the assumption that it's
a
coronavirus,
and
they had a running nose. Okay, who cares which one they've got now? The only one that they're really testing for is COVID-19, and if all of the others are that common, and if this one's become that common, it's no wonder that everybody's coming out with it.
Well, now, the second issue with that, Terry, is that we have used PCR, the nasal swab polymerase chain reaction testing. It's going to be outlawed this December 31st, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was so darn inaccurate.
Inaccurate, yeah.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Sure.
Why
are they waiting until December 31st?
I suspect that's a political reason, but I do not know the answer to that.
Okay.
All right? But we now know that the PCR tests are wildly inaccurate. They interact with all sorts of other viruses, all sorts of other stuff. And that's part of the reason why the numbers were inflated.
The guy who invented it said it wasn't very accurate.
No, that's true, by the way. Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I'm trying to think of his name. But he's gone on record saying, Holder, this should never be used for diagnosis.
Right.
It was never intended to be that at all. All right.
Right.
Now we did. All right, and it's inflated the numbers. All right. I want to just put a caveat. I have patients thinking that there is no such thing as COVID. It is a serious illness, all right? It does exist.
It's out there.
It's out there. But it has not become as prominent, and the PCR tests inflated the numbers, all right, to make it look worse.
Right,
and it
right.
caused, I think it caused more fear. Do you follow what I'm saying? All right, but that's the first thing. The second thing the doctor is going to think of is, if it's acute, is have you been exposed to toxic fumes? Because some of the cleaning products, chlorine dioxide, some of these different things are will literally burn the nasal mucosa, those what we call cilia in the nose that have to do with in the upper part of the nose is what's called the cribriform plate. In the top of the brain, there's little holes, what's called the cribriform plate, where these little miniature nerves come down.
So we actually do have a hole in our heads.
You do. You do. They're miniature. Yeah,
they're miniature ones.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit about what happens with that with trauma. But bottom line, those these little nerves get screwed up.
And I can tell you that whenever I'm around Clorox for any amount of time, you know, I'm cleaning or something like that, for the next day, I can't smell a thing.
Classic example, Terry. You just said it. All right.
All I smell is Clorox.
Yeah.
Because it's embedded up into that area.
Well, because it sort of burns those... I suppose that's probably a good word. The end of those nasal nerves, all right, that are very sensitive, and you can't smell, all right? The other thing the doctor wants to know is if you had a recent head injury, closed head trauma. Why? What would head trauma have to do with...
Bleeding in that area?
No. Maybe I'll tell a story about myself. Like, I have a very poor sense of smell, all right? My wife thinks at times it's a blessing, especially when skunks are around. And things like that. and this is years ago, all right? Mm-hmm. As you know, I went to medical school in Canada.
Right.
All right, where there is no malpractice, all right? Well, that's not true, no malpractice, but malpractice does not exist like it does down here. But I came down to residency, and my first baby I delivered in Florida, in the United States, my first baby, I did what was called a medial lateral episiotomy. It was done in Canada, in Britain, in Europe, all right? And I delivered the baby.
Right.
And then the attending came in, so he was there, so we let him sew up the episiotomy so he can bill for the delivery, all right?
Right.
If he doesn't, he bill instead of me doing it. So I let him do it. And I didn't know at the time, he'd never seen a medial lateral episiotomy. He didn't know how to sew it up. Now, I didn't know that at the time. So I've just delivered my first baby in the United States, all right? I've heard all about this malpractice stuff and all that I really didn't expose in Canada.
Right.
And this doc, OBGYN, he looks at it and says, "What the hell you do? I don't know what's going on. This lady should sue you." Right in front of the patient. I lost it. I fainted. All right? Mm-hmm. Hit my head. I'm unconscious for 3 days. I end up waking up in the ICU. What the heck happened?
What happened? I heard, somebody was suing me.
And the doctor, the OBGYN, got in trouble. He was in trouble for doing that. All right?
I'll say.
But bottom line, since that time, I have no sense of smell. Now, what happened to me? You have in your, above your, in just the glabella. How would you describe that? The glabella.
Top
of the nasal bridge, all right?
Right.
Where your nose attaches to your, it goes above your eyebrows, right. Okay? That's called the glabella. Yeah. Right behind there, above the brain, is what's called the cribriform plate. It's two little plates. Each side of the midline.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a little groove there, okay, called the olfactory groove. But there's two little plates there that have, thousands. I don't know, but hundreds of miniature holes where one nerve goes through, one nerve for smelling goes through that area. So there's a whole bunch of nerves through that what's called the cribriform plate. Now, if you hit your head a certain way, the brain will shear and cut off all they cut off those little miniature nerves going through those holes, and you lose your sense of smell overnight, immediately. And that's what happened to me.
Amazing.
I have a little bit. They don't grow back, by the way. All right. I have a very poor sense of smell. All right. And that will be forever. I mean, this has been 35 years ago this happened, or 30 years ago this happened kind of thing. But that's what trauma. The doctor will want to know if there's recent trauma, head injury trauma kind of thing, because that will cause...
But then it turns from acute to chronic.
Yeah, they'll come in acutely.
Yeah,
but it will end up never coming back.
Yeah,
all right.
Let's take a break there. We'll be right back. We're talking about asomnia, which
anosmia.
I'm sorry, Anosmia.
Anosmia.
Anosmia. That's a medical term I'd never heard before.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I know medical terms fairly well, no, but anosmia is one I had not heard of. But
Terry,
anosmia.
Yeah,
I can't smell anything.
Yep, that's it.
We're going to be right back.
There's only one on AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR. Bakersfield's choice for local Kern County news. AM 1560 and FM 97.7, KNZR. And now, here's Terry Maxwell.
Anosmia, 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 anosmia. I'm getting it.
I have a question for you, Terry.
Yeah, yeah.
If anosmia is acute and it's associated with intermittent or acute episodes, but it's intermittent. It happens one, you know, and it'll come back next day or in a couple hours later. And it's associated with unusual odors or sensations that you're smelling. What does that mean?
Okay, so
you've had, and it could end up being chronic. All right, but the patient will come in and he's lost a sense of smell, mm-hmm. or he loses it intermittently. You know, once a day or once every 6 hours or whatever.
Is there a trigger?
And when, no.
It just happens to go away.
Just goes away, all right? You lose the smell, sense of smell for a minute or two, and it'll smell terrible odors, all right, that aren't really there. What does it make you think of?
Gosh, you know, you got me on that one.
Well, here's the thing. And this is what the thing the doctor will ask, all right?
Sure.
But here's the thing, Terry. These patients with intermittent anosmia and are associated with a sensation of bad odors, all right? Most of them think epilepsy or temporal lobe tumors.
Oh, okay.
But epilepsy will do this.
There's got to be something going wrong with the brain.
Epilepsy, Terry.
Okay.
All right? And it's not that common, Terry. This is not a common form
of epilepsy. It's not something you'd use for diagnosing epilepsy, but something that might give you
It happens, all right? And so your doctor will...
A clue.
Your doctor will listen to this and ask these questions, and then he'll think, Holder, is this really epilepsy, all right? We've talked about the importance of skull trauma or head trauma, all right?
Right.
We've talked about the fracturing these the cribriform plate, or actually, in more accurate, we say fracturing the cribriform plate, but it's really not a fracture of the bone with all those holes in. It's a shearing of the nerves across it that go through that cribriform plate.
Mm-hmm. Because of the trauma of the
process of, right. From the head trauma, all right? But these patients with this fracture of a cribriform plate, it will never come back, Terry. Once this happens, it doesn't come back. No matter what you do, there's nothing you can do about it, nothing anybody can do about it. There's no medicine, no supplement, no nothing. These nerves don't grow back.
Yeah, it's not like you can transplant those nerves back in so that people. sorry, you can't do it.
Now, the next thing he's going to ask, Terry, is there a history of drug use or overuse of nasal sprays? All right? And there's several things I want to go through because these are common, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, captopril. This is a medicine that a lot of people are on for blood pressure, okay? Captopril.
Sure.
Captopril causes this. Anosmia. All right, a lot of people don't know that. All right, so your doctor will think about that. And these end up usually not being intermittent, chronic. All right, but captopril can do that. Penicillamine can do it. All right, we don't use as much penicillamine today as years ago.
Right,
but it's still around. All right, what's the most common cause of anosmia? This will shock my alcohol. People don't realize that, but alcohol. Essentially makes those nerves swell a bit,
mm-hmm.
and they have a temporary...
Well, alcohol is a poison.
Yeah, and I guess you think of it, they swell, and maybe they get poisoned. I'm not sure if that's the right technical word for it, but mm-hmm. but whatever. But the alcohol can cause this, all right? So if you go to your doctor with anosmia, he will ask you, how about alcohol? All right, and alcohol intake.
Well, that makes sense because I've heard the comment, I was in the restaurant industry for 18 and a half years. I've heard the comment, well, they had so much to drink, they couldn't taste what they were eating anyway.
Sure, exactly. All right. Tobacco is known to do this.
Yeah, I could have guessed that one.
All right. There's two classes of drugs that are famous, I'm not sure, or infamous for doing this. All right. Mm-hmm. But one is what we call the antirheumatic drugs, drugs for rheumatoid arthritis. There are many of these drugs, and there's a whole class of these. All right.
Yeah.
So your doctor will think if you have RA and you're on these drugs, he'll think, is this the issue? All right. And the other thing is there's a whole class of what we call anti-proliferative drugs. These are drugs for cancers, lymphomas. They kill cells, essentially. All right? This class of drugs will commonly do this, too.
Harms those nerves.
Yeah, exactly. Well, essentially, it's killing a cancer,
right.
And they'll kill the
good guys as well as the bad
exactly.
guys.
All right? The next thing that the doctor will want to know is the smell, loss of smell unilateral or bilateral? All right? Now, bilateral is by far 99%, the most common, all right? 99%
right.
are bilateral.
Both nostrils
don't smell.
Being affected.
All right? But he will, and sometimes, in fact, we will even sometimes ask, the patient may not know. Do you follow? He may not be, not always will the patient say it's only one nostril, right? Sometimes
right.
it will. But he may not realize it and come up with that. So we have little smelling salts and things like that, or little tricks we do to see if it's only one side or the other, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? If it's only one side, there's a high correlation with what's called olfactory groove meningiomas. Those are brain tumors that occur over the...
Would only affect one side.
Would only affect one side. And they come from the meninges, the covering of the brain, and they start in that olfactory groove on the one side, and they will screw up essentially...
Your ability to smell.
Yeah, on one side. So only one side is a concern. Those patients all need imaging, CT or MR, or imaging, all right? The other thing is the doctor will ask, are there any other neurologic signs, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Because this can be associated with multiple sclerosis. Parietal lobe tumors will do this, all right?
Right.
Temporal lobe tumors, brain tumors will typically give you abnormal smells and sensations like that. But parietal lobe brain tumors... Can cause unilateral loss of smell. Now, these are rare, Terry. All right? I mean, I don't want people listening saying, oh, my gosh, you know, I've got a brain tumor.
Next time I can't smell it.
You know, less than 1 out of 100 is going to be an issue. All right? Mm-hmm. This is rare, okay? Now, if you do have unilateral anosmia, you need to see your doctor, and you need a CT scan or an MR imaging, all right, of your brain. But they are rare, Terry. They are really rare,
yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
The other thing that's important for these things, Terry, is that there are he will ask, is there signs of what we call systemic illness, something else? Because there's a bunch of illnesses, I'll go through them, that are associated with loss of smell. And we don't, often as physicians, it doesn't twig to us, all right? These are areas that we as the ear, nose, and throat doctor will twig right away.
Right,
but the primary
otolaryngologist.
Yeah, right? But the average primary care doctor may not twig to these right away, all right? Eventually,
sure.
We do. But number one, hypothyroidism will cause problems. Diabetes, classically, end-stage diabetes, I better say, the time you've lost your legs, often these people don't smell properly, all right?
Yeah, that's, the nerves are definitely part of that
renal
equation.
Failure and liver failure, end-stage liver failure and renal failure because loss of smell. And there's one other thing, a neurologic or a systemic disease that is very treatable,
mm-hmm.
and that's pernicious anemia. People who have B12, vitamin B12 deficiencies.
Right.
All right, and they respond. You give them B12, and all of a sudden their smell comes back in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And probably the easiest, if we think of these people with these pernicious anemias, you just better give them a shot of B12 and see what happens. It's cheap. It's safe. Not going to do any harm.
And you know it in a week. Yeah.
We'll know in a week. And
sure.
That's a simple. We often do that to see did it make a difference, all right?
Right.
But the pernicious anemias... These B12 deficiencies, we've mentioned this in other programs, but the people you have to worry about, there's certain dietary people who have had stomach surgeries,
right.
you know, I'm lost.
Yeah, bariatric surgery.
Bariatric surgery, yeah. All right? Those kind of things who have absorption issues. And the other group with big, that we've only probably in the last 6 years, well, maybe a little bit more than that, we've twigged to, we didn't realize, but people who are on long-term PPIs and acid suppressors, omeprazole.
Yeah.
You're on omeprazole for more than 6 months, causes B12 absorption issues. All right?
Right.
So we're just now becoming sort of more aware of that. 10 years ago, never heard of it kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But people who are long-term acid suppression, they can get that. And it responds, at least my experience, it responds very, very, very well. All right? You give them B12 shots.
Or the sublingual.
Or the sublingual.
No.
B12 is not absorbed by, swallow it.
No.
It doesn't work.
No.
All right?
It just gets destroyed in stomach acids.
It's either subcutaneous or sublingual. All right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, that's important. Maybe we...
Let's
take a break, and then let's talk about... go up a little bit about what the workup is, what to do.
That sounds good. We're going to be right back. We're talking with Dr. Jan Mensink. And if you think that you have COVID-19 because you can't smell, probably shouldn't jump to that conclusion.
It can.
But let's advance the thought that everybody needs to go see their doctor. If that's one of your symptoms, definitely want to see a doctor. We'll be right back.
KNZR.com, KNZR on Twitter, KNZR on Facebook, and KNZR on your radio at AM 1560 and FM 97.7. KNZR.
3 days of snow.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Jan Mensink from The Practice. Dr. Mensink, you were going to talk a little bit about workup and what you're going to do about this.
Let's put it into perspective, Terry.
Okay.
The 99% of these things don't need workup in the discussion. I mean, they're due to upper respiratory tract infections. Today in our world, you need to be COVID tested, all right, and decide whether you need to be treated for that or, locked away kind of thing. I didn't say that, but most of these are viral upper respiratory tract infections. All right,
like 99%. Yeah, 99%.
They don't need any workup. All right, except now we have COVID. All right, and let's just reiterate. Remember what you said earlier in our program. Before COVID, the average kid had six in the winter, the fall and winter, had six upper respiratory colds and infections, upper respiratory tract infections per year. That was normal. All right. So think of it this way, Terry. You could have six of these and none of them COVID. And you'll think everyone is COVID. Don't get me wrong.
Well, the world's been turned upside down because of this.
But statistically, it's not COVID. All right? And you have to, I want to put this into perspective. I don't want people panicking kind of thing. You know what I mean? Now, it can be. And I'm a strong believer you should be tested and checked and talk to your doctor about that. But statistically, the chances of your loss of smell being COVID is, I don't know a number, but it's, this is just me talking because I really haven't looked at statistically, but I would guess it's less than 50%.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying? Now, that is me. I have nothing to back that up with, but that's my guess kind of thing. You know, just looking at the average person in the winter, and this would be in the winter, not in the summer, in the spring, but in the average winter, the average person had six colds over the experience, all right?
Right.
Yeah.
And the people who are ones that just never seem to get a cold year after year after year
have
great immunity.
Let's go back to keep your D3 levels above 80. We've talked about that in so many programs before. By the way, now there's research
galore.
Oh my gosh, it is wow. I look at it, I thank the God in heaven I'm on the right side of this, all right?
Yeah.
The first thing is put it in perspective. Most of the time you get anosmia, loss of smell, it's not COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it's an upper respiratory tract infection, and we do nothing. All right?
Right.
Now, today, Terry?
Because once the infection goes away,
it'll come back. All right. Now, Terry, today, you don't do nothing today because of coronavirus, of COVID. You end up getting checked, all right?
Right.
But most of these are going to be negative, all right? The second thing is if it's a progressive problem, that what that means is you've had anosmia, you had it once 6 months ago, and then 4 months ago you had an episode for a couple times, went away, and it's getting worse and worse. Now it's happening every second day. That's a progressive anosmia. All mm-hmm. those patients need brain imaging.
Right.
Probably CT scan of the brain, all right? It's cheap. It's readily available everywhere today. They all need imaging, all right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because that's the kind of person that's a setup that they're going to end up with either parietal tumors, temporal lobe tumors, or masses causing epilepsy, or meningiomas, a factor group meningiomas, all right? So progressive symptoms, they need imaging of the brain, all right?
Right.
If there's systemic symptoms, all right, they're all right. They need a blood count, a chem 20, that says electrolytes, liver function, kidney function, things like that. They need to have the thyroid checked. They need a B12 level. Now, I wouldn't do a B12 level. I just darn well give them a B12 shot. It's cheaper and faster and you know.
Right? It's either going to work or it's not.
And the other thing is they probably need, especially if they're anemic, they need a red blood cell folic acid level. All right?
Sure.
Red cell folic. And then depending what the doctor finds with your chem 20, if your sugar's up or not, you need to have a glucose tolerance test, all right, to see if you're really diabetic. Early diabetic. Yeah. Now, most of these patients, Terry, that are diabetics that get anosmia are end-stage diabetics. They're not newly diagnosed diabetics, all right?
Yeah.
The other thing is we talked about this earlier in the program. Here's the bottom line. If it's intermittent with unusual odors, these patients need a CT scan, all right, of the brain, and they need to have an EEG, electroencephalogram. That's for seizures, all right? And you have to rule out seizures. And here's the other little tip. If that's happening and you think it's a seizure, they need both daytime EEG and night sleep EEG.
EEGs,
they
sure.
need both, all right? Years ago, we didn't realize that. And their daytime EEG was normal. We thought, you don't have it. Forget about it. That's not true. Now we know you have to do both, all right? Because you'll miss a small percentage of those. So, what's the last thing? This is not that common, but happens, and these are very frustrating patients. excuse me, Terry. But there's a certain amount of percentage, and there's a very small, Terry. These are, I think I've seen two or three in 30 years kind of thing.
Minuscule.
There's certain patients that it's really a psychiatric illness. There's nothing wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
They have brain, I guess, brain problems. but they really have a psychiatric illness, and they need to go to see the psychiatrist, all right? But it's really a psychiatric illness, all right? And we know that these patients can be very, very difficult to treat, all right? In fact, I have a patient right now that we're following up that he has abnormal sensation and feeling in his throat, in the back of his throat, and swallowing, okay? And make a long story short, I've been working with him over a year and a half, and we're not getting anywhere, all mm-hmm. right? I mean, mm-hmm. we're not winning. In fact, I thought maybe it was an issue with serotonin issues, but I talked to him this morning, and it looks like, no, I was dead wrong. It's not. Now, he's going to be scoped this week. And put a
GI, NG tube.
Upper GI endoscopy.
Right.
Just see if there's any issues there, all right? And if that doesn't work, I will probably send them to ENT and say, what do you think, all right? But I thought it was good. There is a component, these people that can have the different sensations of the throat. Globus is one of them, globus hystericus, all right?
Mm-hmm.
It's actually more common than we realize. It feels like you've got a lump in your throat kind of all the time. And it's really an emotional problem, all right? It's the problem is not in the throat. It's up above the ears kind of thing.
Yeah.
But these are not that common, all right? They're frustrating to doctors. I don't want to play games with these emotional problems. They're frustrating to doctors, but they're there, all right? There's no question.
Excellent. What a fascinating subject.
I
wouldn't have guessed that we could spend a whole hour on it, but we did. That's fantastic. And I think everybody appreciates the honesty on it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's something we need to talk about, even because we're the COVID. This is happening all the time.
Yeah,
Terry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Putting it all into perspective.
That's what we're trying to do. Yeah.
Okay, everybody, we've got to take this last break. We're going to be right back. This is the Terry Maxwell Show here on KNZR.
The new KNZR stickers are here. Get one and stick it. It could make you a winner.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend, the end of our elaborate plans, the end of everything that stands, the end, no safety or surprise, the end, I'll never look into your again.
Okay, everybody, we are done for today. I do want to let you know you want to tune in tomorrow because something special is happening tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you what it is. Jan, you know, I would like for you to clarify for people bringing up this subject of not being able to smell. What was the purpose?
Terry, one purpose. I want to decrease people's fear.
Reduce your anxiety and stress.
Fear and stress. Don't be afraid of it, okay? Because the more fear you have, the lower your immune system is, the worse you're going to do it together.
Yeah, and that's tremendously tremendously important. Keep a positive attitude on a lot of things and fight the fights that you need to fight. Okay, everybody, we're done.